This Week in Nature is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for your free 30 days trial at audibletrial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is This Week in Asia episode 111. And today we have the Motley crew in town. So I'm going to start off with the guy in KL. Hey Daniel, how are you?
Hey man, how's it going, man?
What have you been up to?
I'm feeling sick today, so not really much actually. Today's really unproductive.
Is it?
Yeah.
So are you still working on your new project?
Yeah, I'm still working on the new project. Should be announcing this week or so, or maybe just announce it next week on the show. Yeah, but yeah. I will be on next week, so you have to do an announcement for me.
So, where are you going to go next week? Yeah.
Pardon?
Where are you going next week?
Next week, I'll be in Doha, actually. Yeah.
Right. Where are you going to be there? You're going to go there for, to ride camels, go desert, or, having a holiday, or are you there for work?
Yeah, so for those who actually know, I'm involved in TEDx. I'm the curator for TEDx KL. And next week, there's going to be a TEDx summit. So I'm going to meet, all the big curators from all around the world, the TEDx Singapore, TEDx Tokyo. I should get taught on the show one these days, but if it's actually quite cool on that. And yeah, so it's going to be organized by TED and sponsored by actually the Music and Film Foundation in Qatar. So,
okay.
But I'm paying my own flight, man.
Oh, okay. But it would be a good experience, right?
Yeah.
It would be a pretty good experience. You can get to see all the TEDx organizers all over the world.
Yeah, so we want to learn from the best. We want to go and raise the bar, actually, to create a more awesome TEDx in KL and hopefully in the region. Yeah.
So is Chris Anderson, the organizer of TED, going to be there?
Yeah, so Chris Anderson will be there. Actually, I think I'll be having a session with Chris on Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's cool. But,
yeah, so our other friend who is... You're in Thailand now, right?
Singapore.
No, I got it wrong this time around. Smitty, where are you?
Me? No, I'm not. I'm in Thailand right now.
Yes, I got it. So we can have this guess Smitty competition
going.
Yeah,
you can guess where I am at times. It's only going to be one of the two places. It's not
no, that. But I want to first give the news that you have launched something just before Good Friday.
Yes, we did. We actually launched it. Kind of launched it like late one night, and then we didn't tell anybody. And then we started telling people like Thursday, Friday, and we are up and running.
Wow!
Yeah, how do you manage to get the slot from Sarah Lacey in Pendo Daily? Oh man, that was such a good.
No, she's very approachable, and I think obviously, she knows me already from the Indonesian thing I did, and all I did was actually. The funny thing was I met with her a couple months ago when I was still with Yahoo, and I knew I was quitting, but I hadn't done everything yet. Actually, I had quit, and I knew I was quitting, and I went and talked to her and met her at a coffee shop, and she was super cool. She's like very down to earth, and this is the second time I've met her, right? But she was very cool, and she's like, why don't you tell me what you're doing, and if it makes sense and it has some global appeal, she goes, I'll write it up. So we just stayed in touch, and I told her, there was no point in writing about it until we launched. And then we had this problem of kept moving the launch date on her. So she was very gracious about moving things for us. So she's very cool. And I think, if you look at the comments on the article, it's actually had quite a comment stream about, one, Pando Daily writing about international things, which people thought is cool, and then two, kind of arguing about whether this is a business model or not. So I thought the comment stream was pretty good. So. Mm. And then actually, we got the beta kit guy, which is one of the Giga Ohm writers. But it didn't land on Giga Ohm, unfortunately. It landed on beta kit. But yeah, and then we got a couple more and been talking to a couple newspapers. So yeah, PR's been not too bad. So
not so bad.
Now the real work begins.
Yep. So how's the initial turnout? Is it a lot of people coming in, watching TVs? Actually, what is it now? Can you just tell us Like, you know, now the
last time, I mean, we're trying to be the, you know, everybody wants to put things in a box, right? I guess if you think about what the business model looks like, we look similar to like Hulu, but focused on the Indian content market, right? So that's the play. It's you know, people keep saying, are you going to do other markets or other? And the answer is no. We just think the Indian market, both the production of movies and the amount of people that might want to watch it, is big enough, right? So so that's the focus. We're, you know, we're not going to try to be a bunch of different niches. We're going to stay focused on this, but we're going to go deep on this with both catalog size. We'll get into TV. And we want to make the viewing experience across multiple devices. So we only launched with the web. The iOS apps are in process. Android's in process. Smart TVs are in process.
Okay.
And that's the focus. And, you know, I guess it's, you know, we want to actually build a subscription base up. So I guess it's just similar to Netflix in that way. But the difference is, you know, you can log on to Spool and you don't actually have to have a credit card or have any way of paying us and still watch the free things. So, which is different than Netflix. Netflix, you have to sign up and start paying right away, right?
So, right. Right.
So that's the play. And, you know, I guess you could say it's about Bollywood, but a lot of people probably don't realize that the Indian movie scene isn't just Bollywood. It's like Bollywood plus South Indian movies plus Hindi movies plus, you know, five or six other languages and a pretty big independent film scene, but you never see it because they don't make it to the theaters. So we actually kind of hope to offer an avenue for the independent film people in India to go straight to online, right? So,
okay.
So that's the focus. Yeah, and we're launched. And the hard, as you know, Bernard, the hard work begins after you launch, right?
Yeah, it's always like that. Well, just as you launch something new, can't help to ask you something old. So the layoffs did happen this week.
Ooh.
And I guess, well, I mean, just to get your thoughts, I mean, we heard there is, you know, I think most of the staff from COP, I think all of the team has been laid off in Indonesia, right?
Yeah, the entire team. I think the founders stay a little bit longer to clean things up, but the entire team. And I, you know, I've had a lot of people like, this isn't personal to Southeast Asia or the team, as painful as it is, right? It's still very painful, don't get me wrong. But I don't think this is about the team. This is about, you know, Yahoo cutting a lot of people, and it's a lot of teams, right? And, you know, the way I kind of look at this, and I wrote about it, I think, you know, I won't say the bad word, but I wrote an article that's been published in a bunch of places where nobody contacted me. They just, this is one thing I don't know, I've learned about how this whole news thing worked, but my article was published on like Biz Insider and SIA, and I was published in like three different places. Not one of those people actually contact you. They just take the article, kind of like not rewrite it, but they extract quotes in a very particular fashion, so they're not actually in context, and then they just publish it. So I had the Business Insider, Silicon Alley Insider, and then SF Gate all used the article, and not one of them emailed or anything. Now, they did a tribute to it, so, but that's where I kind of explained that, like, you know, every new CEO comes into Yahoo to kind of, like, put their mark on it, and I think this CEO is very adamant about trimming costs, right? And, you know, the corporate guys weren't necessarily raking in tons of revenue, right? Let's be frank about that. So I think they looked at all the pieces around the world that cost money but don't necessarily bring in a lot of money. And I think everybody knows in Indonesia it's kind of a growth phase. The money's going to come years down the road. But I think Yahoo doesn't really have the luxury to wait years, right? So they're cutting a lot of things. They cut stuff in India, cut stuff in China, they cut stuff in Brazil, cut stuff across Europe, and then a bunch of people out of the product division in the States. And then the head of the product division throughout all this, nobody hears from him, and then he resigns. That's Blake. Right? So I think this is actually only the first wave, to be honest with you. I think more are coming.
Yeah.
This was the low-hanging fruit. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to take another couple thousand out. But the thing is, you know, no one knows what they're going to do next. So I think this was that typical, let's cut, but we don't know what the new strategy is either. And I think, you know, we all talk about this a lot. You know, what would you do if you're Yahoo? And this is the thing I tried to put in the article. And it'd be great if you guys even chatted about it. Like, a lot of people just think it's easy to fix Yahoo, and people don't realize it's really hard, and a lot of people have tried. You just have a huge company with a massive audience whose revenue chart is going down even if the user chart goes up. And what I talked a lot about, and I think, you know, this is something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, is it's much harder to monetize mobile than it is the web, right? So Yahoo was used to hundreds of millions of users looking at web pages, and it's easy to slap a lot of ads on that and make a lot of money. But you take that same user base and you move them to the iPhone, and your ability to make money has been chopped like a couple different ways, right? You know, like, a lot of people don't realize that even as they, you know, and I kind of call this the goose that laid the golden egg, even as Yahoo is successful in mobile, their revenue opportunity goes down. So it's not a hard place to fix. And I think it's really easy to be a sideline jockey and say, oh, these guys are screwing up again, or, oh, they laid people off. But, you know, I worked on the planning teams, and, you know, I could tell you I wouldn't really know what to do with the place other than to trim back and realize that if you cut back, you get a longer runway, right?
Right. Would you think that they are now totally going to drop all their Asian operations, even though it's really their cash cow?
I don't think so, to be honest with you, right? Like, it's, and I think it's very hard to do that per se, right? Like, the things that, you know, the things that you could easily cut out are the things that are hard to sell, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the China business, which is Alibaba, which has a lot of value, well, look, they've been trying to sell it, right? So, so that's one issue, right? And then if you look at the Japan thing, that's also a JV, and somebody has to step up and buy them out of the JV.
Yeah.
And same with the Australia thing. So the things that are easily choppable aren't, you know, a lot of parties have to get involved to sell them, right? So that, you know, and then the rest of the businesses, honestly, you know, I think they took in a shellacking in Korea that used to be a big moneymaker for them. It's not anymore because the people started signing up with Google for their search partnerships.
Right.
So Korea's probably a big sinkhole for them now, is my guess, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to dump that business and just say, let's get out of Korea. It's not going to be winnable anymore. You know, Taiwan, they're obviously just number one, right, in everything they do. And they use their audience to create new products and move them over to it. But, you know, Taiwan can't carry the whole region, right?
So yep.
Southeast Asia, you know, my guess is it's break even or makes a little bit of money at best. But we're not talking like hundreds of millions of dollars, right? So same with the Middle East. I think they're doing quite well in the Middle East, but I don't think it can carry everything. So America still makes the bulks of revenues, right? The billions of dollars, right? I think Asia gets somewhere into the billion number, but not all the way there. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't keep trying to get rid of these JVs and get cash from them and use them for other things. But I doubt they would get rid of the wholly owned Yahoo businesses.
Right. Right.
You know, just look at Facebook and realize what they're up against, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, they're currently trying to sue Facebook in terms of, like, patents and just before Facebook's IPO. So,
I wrote about that. I think the interesting thing there that a lot of people don't realize is there's a long-term agreement between Yahoo and Facebook about the user login and about data sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of us felt that there was some pressure to try to renegotiate that, and this patent thing is one way of forcing that issue. Obviously, it's not, can't be the only piece of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a major component to it. But you know, I know Facebook has a lot at stake, meaning I don't necessarily think they're worried, but I mean their IPO is what they're focused on, right? So I'm sure Facebook fights this tooth and nail knowing what's at stake, right?
Yeah, right. I agree.
But, you know, it's not going to be easy to fix these problems. And I actually give it to Scott for actually trying to be aggressive, which I don't think Carol did enough of. But this idea that people think there's an easy way to turn around or say, make Yahoo look better, you know, talk to Blake Irving, right? He tried for 2 years and it didn't, didn't really go anywhere, right? So this is a tough problem. And I think it's interesting for the region because you see a lot of people either want to partner with Yahoo or try to do corp dev or BD with Yahoo. And it's probably very hard to do that right now, right?
Yep. So, well, I guess since it's a very good segue, we want to talk a little bit about Facebook, because since Yahoo and Facebook have already...
Let me add one thing before we segue, which is, if the Corporal team is looking for work, so we'll just try to use this bandwidth that we have to, if people want to, if people need people and they need a team or they want to talk to people, they can tweet me or email me, dreampipe@yahoo.com, and we'll get them in touch with the Corporal founders. And basically, they're focused on just helping their employees get new jobs. That's kind of their focus right now. And we've actually have a lot of conversations going on. So if we could just kind of use this to also announce that, that would be cool.
Yep. You definitely have that.
I just did.
Yeah.
I would need some.
Yeah. Anyway, I think they will be snapped up pretty quickly because everyone needs engineers here in this part of the world.
That's the hope.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to the next story. It's about Facebook in Asia. So they released the first quarter 2012 figures through Grey Review, which is run by Yonghui from KL.
Yep.
So Yonghui released the numbers for Facebook this quarter in Asia, and it's really interesting to see that Japan has a big quarterly growth of 28%, hitting about 8 million users. That's almost reaching one-third of what Mixi's current numbers are, which Mixi is the largest.
Mixi is about like 40 million, if I remember.
I think the last number I remember was 30 million.
Yeah,
30 million was the last number. I mean, that was based on mid last year. So possibly they have a total population, possibly about 60 to 80 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about, I think Facebook is slowly gaining momentum in the market.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit scary. South Korea is also having the same situation. It's about 25% growth.
Don't you think, in general, I've been calling this for like 2 years. Mm. It was like when I was in India a lot, the Yahoo team actually would tell me, oh, Facebook's never going to happen in India big. Orkut's always going to be ahead of it. And, just like look at Twitter. It's not going well. And, my premise to this whole thing is, their sheer size means that everybody can find friends and they're going to get sucked in. And if you're in the single dimension, one country network, you're only going to be able to hold on to that for so long and eventually it'll lose. And it's what's happening, right? And I can't believe that people didn't think this was the inevitable thing to happen, right?
No, I think
a lot of people think that, let me just follow up with that. I think a lot of people think that eventually Facebook would take over, but it's just that there are some people who will stick to their own ways and, I call them dinosaurs, that they think that is they stuck to that one social network. Eventually, that if you are, it's like playing a war game, right? If you're being surrounded by Facebook, of course, everyone is going to migrate towards Facebook. Sorry, Daniel.
No, I was saying, just take a look at, what's that, Orkut? Orkut hasn't really been innovating much.
I think once they start losing, like, why would you... I mean, no offense, like, we thought about this. Why would you keep trying to make it stay when it's only winning in a couple countries? Like, what I'm trying to say is that one country premise thing just doesn't work, right?
Yeah, the economics of scale doesn't work anymore. But, like, look at Mixi, for example. Mixi is primarily in Japan. They have a huge Japanese market. And do we see a lot of innovation coming out from Mixi? But instead of...
Well, they did.
But I don't think you see a ton of innovation at Facebook, do you? You just see their massive scale. I mean, what's been amazingly innovative at Facebook? The timeline?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just... I mean, the scale. But like a lot of my friends in Japan will tell you, like, if you're meeting your Japanese friends, you give them your Mixi address. But if you're meeting global people, you give them your Facebook address. And they play both things at the same time, right?
Yeah, Mixi, in Japan, they always have this duopoly in terms of your personal life and your private social life. They are good at spreading it.
But I think compared to Mixi and Cyworld, sorry, just to add on to this, is that Mixi actually have innovation. They actually did location-based services. They did a lot of changes. They actually allow third-party applications much, much earlier than Cyworld. And I think Cyworld is the one that... is really under threat because they never been innovating on the platform because now it's owned by a telecommunications company, where Mixi is a public company, you know, that requires performance on that part of that. So, any last words on the social network growth?
No, I really think in terms of, yeah, in terms of scale, there's no way you can look at Facebook. But what are the Twitter numbers, actually, for Japan compared to Facebook at the moment?
I have no idea, but I think that's good to take into the next story that you have in mind, which is Twitter introduces brand pages in Japan, right?
Yep.
And that's reported by the Next Web. So they launched this in the US. So anyone can tell. So how does the Twitter brand pages actually work? Can anyone give me an idea on that?
So how does anyone use the Twitter brand pages? Yeah.
Okay. So from what I understand is that the Twitter actually gives brand pages for some of, like, for example, Disney. They have their own brand pages, etc. It's a little bit like Facebook pages, basically, and then allows it to basically push advertisements in the form of Twitter updates into it. So it can actually override into someone's activity feed. I mean, maybe because I lived in Asia and I'm using Twitter in Asia, I don't see that a lot, but a couple of my friends in the US have actually seen ads relating to certain types of brands, for example, like the latest Avengers trailers, etc. So I guess Japan, being the first of all Asia countries that all US companies usually go to, has launched the same feature now. Although even though Twitter Japan is not really owned by Twitter or such, they only have a very small stake. It's actually mainly owned by Digital Garage. So I guess this launch is going to be interesting. And I think you need to pay at least about 25K to launch that particular Twitter brand page, right, for that.
But I thought they were already doing
it. No, I think the hash that... Sorry.
UK, someone said that Japan wasn't really the first. I thought they were doing this in the UK already, and Japan wasn't necessarily the first. They just started doing it.
No, I'm saying Japan is the first in Asia.
Japan is number three after US.
They do this with everything. With Twitter, like, the three countries where Twitter makes money is America, Japan, and Brazil. And it's the only places that they have bodies on the ground internationally, and the only place they try selling stuff.
Mm. But you do know that
there's entire global models basically based in offices in America, Japan, and Brazil, because what I've been told is that's where the potential for money is.
Right. I just want to add to what you said, Smitty, because I think currently Twitter is also expanding into India. They recently hired the Google VP for India to join Twitter for international expansion. So you're going to see Twitter's footprint around Asia for at least in the next 1 to 2 years' time, basically.
Yeah, I think they're definitely like there, don't get me wrong, but they haven't grown the same way that Facebook's growing or started to grow, right? Like, Facebook's had phenomenal growth the last, like, year in India, and Twitter isn't really catching that wave, I don't think. And I'm not sure what it is, actually. It's weird. Because you think with the phones and all that, it makes sense that Twitter would work well, you know, with the SMS and stuff like that. But
no, because India has a lot. I think there's a Twitter-like service called Gushup, which is one of the top use.
Yeah, but it's there again, like, platforms. Not ruling the world anymore. My understanding is it's quite vulnerable to Facebook.
Yeah, so this actually is this hidden quality of Facebook that everyone seems to be attracted to Facebook, that there's so much people signing up, and
especially because every time you get on it, you're going to find a friend or you're going to find someone inviting you, right? It's you know, and I think the other thing, if you look at developing against Facebook, I think this is also them. They kind of give you the most profile information for free, right? Mm. And this is something that people don't talk a lot about, right? But, you know, Facebook, like, if you implement the Facebook login and kind of go deep with Facebook, that one gives you the most information about a user. Okay. Much more than Twitter, much more than, like, a Yahoo or even Google+, is my understanding. So I think you see so many people getting on it because so many sites implement logins for it as well, right? Yeah, this doesn't get talked about a lot, but I think that is one of the kind of things that happens, right?
Yeah, especially when I look at, I mean, I maintain several pages and it goes up to like 40,000 to 100,000 and yeah, you can look at the demographic, it's so scary and you know exactly like who is the main audience, etc. And once you start building apps, there's so many things that you can work on.
Yep, I think Facebook is becoming like sort of like the place, like almost it's its own OS, its own individual page that you have to go to every day, right?
How much is Facebook worth now at the moment?
100 billion. That's the number that everybody is saying. Yep.
Are you guys buying?
How can you buy?
Why? Just get a stockbroker and just buy.
You can't really buy like that unless you're buying a lot, right? Or you're going to get whatever like the pop trades are, right? So it's not like you're going to buy at IPO.
You're going to buy a bit post IPO, but if you can, will you?
No, you should buy before.
Yeah, you can't
buy. The days you buy before is already over on the second market.
Yeah, I haven't got that actually, but
Someday you'll get another chance.
No.
Yeah.
Well, maybe make sure I get some special offer for Spool actually. Spool.
Friends and family round.
Friends and family round, right? They call it. Okay. Well, I guess we probably, since today is a slow news week, why don't we go for the last story then?
Yep.
Which is actually reported in SG Entrepreneurs and is about this new initiative that the Singapore government, actually is the Infocom Authority, Development Authority of Singapore, which is sort of in charge of the IT, information technology space. They're trying to basically issue grants for more share spaces and home offices.
Okay, so this is something that confused me at first.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference between Infocom IDA and MDA?
Okay, basically one of them is in charge of the more of the IT infrastructure kind of things. Like for example, who is going to build the fiber optics? Who's going to build the 4G network? Who is going to deal with say servers infrastructure? That's IDA's job. Okay. Media Development Authority does with media content, for example. So if suppose someday, let's say Spool has some content that is not allowed, then they have to deal with MDA with that. So make it easy for you, Smitty. So in case you have any content issues, you know who to deal with.
Yeah. I know, but one of the things that I noticed when at Yahoo and working them. Singapore doesn't really get in your face much if you're using Singapore as a company to host for stuff around the globe, right?
Like, yeah.
They're very careful to make sure that they don't mess with that. Otherwise, why would you come and set up shop in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
Now, if your entire focus is on Singaporeans, they're probably going to monitor you much more heavily, right? But look at Amazon, look at all these people. I mean, do you think Amazon doesn't have something sitting in S3 in a Singapore server that shouldn't be seen in Singapore? Like, you know for sure they do, right? So, it seems to me that, Singapore is very careful about this because if they want to be the knowledge industry and they want to be the center of Southeast Asia, I just don't think they're going to get in your face about what you're hosting, right?
Yep. I think that's the case. But I think increasingly people are actually bypassing Singapore and going into Indonesia as well, if you look at the activity in the last couple of weeks. But I guess the story here was actually more of trying to just as they put a lot of incubators, we had this conversation about too many incubators, too few startups.
So the NRF grant, which is a 1.5 to 8.5 matching grant, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they need to go in 3 years, they only need to pay about 1%. So almost free money.
Yeah. So
that is something that has encouraged people like Joey Ito, Vinnie Loria, and I mean Paul Bradshaw, and so many other people to actually set up shop in Singapore. So what's the deal with actually getting co-working space at the first place?
I don't know. I don't know why they wanted to sort of promote development of co-working spaces by building more co-working spaces. They should be spending more money trying to sort of help the existing co-working spaces.
Exactly.
To make money.
Yeah, like you'd go into hackerspace and like make it better or help them or, you know.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they just keep stoking the fire at the bottom, but not realizing that a lot of people have been doing that for them already.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not go help them out, right? Like, I don't think we have a stoke the fire problem in Singapore anymore. And I really think we have a lack of exits. We have a lack of Series A. We have a lack of telling people what's already there and that it's made in Singapore and that it needs help or doesn't need help or it's doing well. It's a weird, I know, it feels to me like they just jump on a bandwagon that already sailed like a year ago, right?
Mm. Yeah, that's a funny thing because I know some Malaysian co-working space receive email invitation to actually, hey, set up shop in Singapore. It's like, I'm like, what the heck?
Mm. Why would you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not really a good thing. But at the moment, we're trying to organize some feedback as well. So I know a couple of the people who are involved in the space. So I'm trying to get some of these co-working space owners to actually send their feedback to these guys, because you don't want the money to go into wasting or building more spaces and not enough people using them.
Yeah. I mean, come on. There's so many things could be done in terms of helping Hackerspace SG. We should get one of those guys to come out with to talk about this more, because I think it's like pouring money at the wrong places. What's the guy from MDA say will be Singapore will be pushing $5 billion in the ecosystem within the next few years?
Really? Michael Yap.
Huh?
Michael Yap?
Yeah, Michael Yap. And is this what constitutes of the $5 billion?
No. IDA takes a separate budget from MDA.
Okay.
So the money is coming out from somewhere else.
Mm. This is just a weird...
But truth be told, one thing I do have to give them some credit, whichever government agency, whether it's MDA, IDA, when it comes to the actor issue, and SOPA and PIPA, they were totally not in sync until I sent them emails. They were actually now working more hands-on with the Ministry of Law to deal with the legislation problems. Because it has something to that threatens their bottom line as well.
I mean, we give credit where credit is due. I think around Southeast Asia, MDA and IDA are doing a fantastic job compared to what is happening around.
But you know something? I kind of see it differently. I don't know. Maybe just before we kind of end, I would like to have a conversation on this, actually. So, Smitty, yeah, you saw the startup local that's happening. I know it's organized by Echelon last weekend, right?
Yeah.
You look at the amount of startups, the amount of refresh rate, more and more people building things there. I mean, that's something that I find is still lacking, not just in Singapore. I think, to some extent, KL as well, right?
Yeah, KL. You'll see my posts in my
site. But I think Indonesia's so big, right? That's the difference, right? I mean,
exactly.
We're so tiny, right? Like, and then Malaysia's kind of tiny, right? But Indonesia's massive, right? Like, I mean, it's this huge country, which means it produces a lot of graduates. It produces a lot of people with old family money who want to expose it. It's got telcos throwing money at the situation. I just, you know, when people do these comparisons, I think it's kind of wacky, right? But come on, how many successes in Indonesia?
Corporal? Sorry.
Oh, I don't even think Corporal you can look at as a success. I think you can look at Corporal had an exit, right?
Yeah.
And if that's good for the ecosystem, don't get me wrong. It's fantastic. Cascus. But Cascus.
Tokopedia? You
know, yeah. I don't know. Tokopedia hasn't had an exit. They just keep getting investment, right?
Yeah.
There's very few exits, right? Almost two or three maybe. And then you have companies that get investment, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're doing well. I just think they need investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Tokobagus is actually doing pretty well, but they don't get talked about a lot, right?
Which one is that?
Yeah, Tokobagus, yep.
Oh, it's a listing service. It's a listing service. And it I think it's gotten a couple rounds or something, and it's got, you know, it appears to be doing well. And I actually think the what's the social network that kind of pivoted that became the e-commerce things, the one in the Philippines.
LiveJournal.
No, not LiveJournal. Hold on, I'll tell you. What's the name of it? Multiply.
Oh, okay, Multiply.
Yep.
Moldova is doing pretty good, and I think they're re-entering the Indonesian market with some new capital or something. They're doing pretty good. So, I think you see some interesting things, but there's no way to know what their success rate is or how much money they're actually making, or, you know, until you get an exit. And even with the exits, you're not going to get some of the details, right?
Most Asian places, people do not actually tell what's going on anyway.
Exactly. But, you know, the activity is great, and I think it keeps getting better. But I think we have to realize that it's still a lot of activity, right? And I think, you know, I agree with you guys. I think this idea of just statistically trying to make more activity versus maturing the people in the ecosystem and helping them make their businesses better, to me, feels like something that warrants more value than stoking the flames, right?
Yeah,
I think we stoke too much flames. We need to start, you know, consolidating. Yeah,
exactly.
So we are almost at the end of the week. So where can we find, let me say, Daniel?
Hey, just before you want to go, I just want to do a quick one. Hey, is there any interesting startups that have you guys seen lately in Asia?
Oh, I caught Spoo is the one that caught my eye.
Really? Okay. I should check that out.
Nah.
You know, the thing is, I you know, the interesting space, and like I'm watching it because it's so elementary, and I believe that's why Square is doing so good in the States, but we haven't seen them yet. The whole payment space is just still, in my opinion, ripe for help, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's actually a few Square clones in Malaysia, but none of them
are actually picking up. And there is one in Singapore as well.
Yeah, but none of them are actually picking up traction.
But even like the things for websites themselves to accept payments easier and cheaper and with more management tools. I mean, unfortunately, we're all stuck with PayPal. But how many of you guys have built stuff with PayPal?
I do.
It's a really pain. Stuff. It's a pain, right? And it's not that great of a system, right? I mean, but they have huge reach and obviously technical superiority and a lot of stuff, and a lot of people have a PayPal account, but, you know, it would be, you know, I just think this whole space could get better, and you see, I guess, particular countries have a player or two, but I'd love to see someone just come out and say, we're going to nail Southeast Asia, like, nail it, we're going to bring good pricing to it, we're going to bring great customer service. I guarantee you they would get some traction pretty quick.
Really? You can ask those three jokers from Germany to do it.
The three jokers from Germany?
Don't get me started on that.
we started the meme on this, right? Just ask them to clone it, lah. I mean, they can do the work for us. I'm just being sarcastic. Anyway, yeah. I think you're right. There is something. There's much to be said about the payment.
There's room for it, but there
was a lot of. I think there's some happening in Indonesia now. I think in terms of online payment. I recall Rama reported one or two startups that's focusing on mobile pay and also with web payment as well to bypass PayPal as well. So you might see things popping up from that viewpoint.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really, if there's something, I would want to use it because looking at some of the price rate is freaking expensive.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, so anyway, just for the part, where do we find you, Daniel?
Well, you can actually bring me at Cervantes. More recently, I'm hanging out more on Twitter. So, well, yeah, actually, I'll always hang out on Twitter.
So your new project, you're going to announce when? Next week, is it?
I'm going to send you guys some invites and...
Yeah, we better get the exclusive. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's all. Yeah, I'm trying to get Sirkan on the next show, but I will not be coming. But I'll get Bernard to announce or something like that.
Oh, is that I announce your new project? Is it?
Yeah, why not?
Oh my. Okay, that's good. Anyway, what about Smitty? Where can we find you?
Dream Pipe, not just
Spool, right?
Yeah, Dream Pipe, and that's it. at Twitter, DreamPipe at Twitter.
Okay.
Because I find myself logging into Facebook more and more. I regret saying that, but
really,
well, when you start working with it, you got to play with it more, right?
That's true.
What can I say?
Okay. Well, you can definitely find all of us in thisweekinasia.net. Subscribe to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/thisweekinasia, or our Twitter, @thisweekinasia. We will be coming back the next week probably with more news happening in Asia, and do stay tuned with us. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.